The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Live shows, and we're moving the live time of Normal Show Live to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're trying to get more live listeners, and the folks will be off work out there in the Eastern and Central time zones. And those of us in the Pacific, we can enjoy a live 420 together. So check that out. Starting on Monday, January 2nd, the new lineup at Normal Show Live and the Normal Network at live.normal.org. Well, for today, it's end-of-year retrospective time. While my colleagues at the Normal blog are going to bring you the biggest marijuana news stories of 2011, here at the Daily Stash blog and Normal Show Live, we're going to bring you the stories that may have fallen through the cracks of other drug policy 2011 remembrances. So today we bring you the top 10 Reefer Madness stories of 2011. Reefer Madness, of course, is the 1936 anti-pot propaganda film showing young people becoming crazed and violent on the effects of the reefer. Today, we use Reefer Madness as the shorthand to describe the hysterical warnings by the anti-drug zealots as reported unchallenged by a complacent media. Tomorrow, Wednesday, as we normally look at cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Erlingwine, we'll look at the top 10 cannabis science stories of 2011. On Thursday, since we talk a lot about law enforcement against prohibition and stoners getting busted, we'll cover the top 10 stupid stoner stories of 2011. Stories of people who got busted with, if they'd just been a little bit smarter, they wouldn't have. And on Friday, we'll cover the top 10 people in marijuana 2011, both good and bad. People who've been victimized in 2011 and people who have fought back in 2011. All that's coming up on this week's end of year 2011 Normal Show Live retrospective. We'll come back from our advertising
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing of marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, hear me, hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
I wanted just to remind you, coming up on January 2nd, 2012, we've got the new Normal Show Live lineup. And returning to Normal Show Live, our good friends Cannabis Carrie, our news editor, Ganja John, our engineer in the new Pirates Cove, and occasional reports from our own Wiz Calico. The whole fam damily is getting back together here at Normal Show Live. And there's going to be some great podcasts coming up in 2012, so stay tuned for that. Also, don't forget, on February 11th and 12th, it's the Los Angeles High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. The entire crew will be there from Normal Show Live, reporting and streaming live. I'll also probably end up on a panel or two, so we'll bring you that coverage at live.normal.org. Stay tuned for that in February. All right, now let's get to the retrospective. As promised, we bring to you today the top 10 Reefer Madness stories of 2011. Number 10. Oregonian editorial board hypes fears of medical marijuana and teen pot smoking. From the Oregonian. It's about time someone took action on the increasing number of medical marijuana dispensaries. Right now, anyone, including teenagers, can apply for a medical marijuana card. A study done by Oregon Partnership found, for example, that 35% of students at Wilson High School and 46% at Marshall High School knew someone with a card. Yeah, unlike the Oregonian editorial board, I check sources. I work for Normal. I have to. The survey they refer to was addressed at a Marshall High community town hall meeting. The poll was conducted by students as part of a project called SMASH in a confidential, random, peer-to-peer survey. Meaning, one high school kid asking another high school kid. We have no control group. No control for confounding variables, not even a mention of the survey size or the randomness of those polled. I mean, maybe the SMASH kids are more likely to randomly speak to their friend, for instance. Or maybe they stood in the hall and talked to anyone randomly passing by who would answer. But beside all the methodological issues arising from trusting the polling data of high school kids talking to their friends, it's important to note what their survey actually said. Perception. Students surveyed believe that 8 out of 10 students smoke marijuana. Reality, 7 out of 10 students do not smoke marijuana. So, the kids surveyed thought 77.3% of others were smoking pot, 76.07% of the kids never smoked marijuana, and another 12.27% smoked it once or twice a month. So, kids think 3 out of 4 other kids smoke pot, when 3 out of 4 other kids actually don't. Where, oh where, could the kids be getting the message that youth cannabis smoking is out of control when, in fact, Oregon's 12th grade monthly cannabis use rates have declined 14% since 1999, when medical marijuana got underway in Oregon? Number 9. Papa John's Pizza supports driver who reported medical marijuana patient to the police. You would think that pizza delivery companies would understand who their customers are and that a great number of them smoke marijuana. If you're a pizza delivery company in Colorado, you'd understand that many of the marijuana smokers in your delivery area may be legally using cannabis for medicinal purposes. But apparently, Papa John's Pizza in Colorado doesn't care too much about its drivers violating the privacy of its customers, who are also medical marijuana patients. From 9 News, the man was smoking medical marijuana just before the pizza arrived on Friday evening. The delivery driver smelled the marijuana and called the cops. The Papa John's employee, who was not identified, was concerned because the customer's 9-year-old daughter was in the house. Number 8. The annual scaremongering about marijuana-laced Halloween treats begins now. L.A. County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Glenn Walsh said parents should definitely inspect the candy their children bring home after trick-or-treating. Walsh said a pungent smell or an odd taste can serve as indicators on whether the food contains marijuana. As for the potency of the marijuana-laced products, Walsh said, the level of THC, the chemical found in marijuana, can vary from 0 to over 90%. Okay, so watch closely, parents. You don't want your kid getting a candy with 0% THC in it. But if you find any of that 90% THC stuff, send it my way for proper disposal. How stupid is this? First of all, if there's a person out there who would intentionally hand THC-laden treats to children, they are a criminal. They'd be just as likely to poison Halloween treats or put pins or razor blades in them, which is an urban legend with no truth to it whatsoever. But second of all, if you are a person who uses THC-laden treats for medical or recreational purposes, why are you handing out a $20 Butterfinger when you could pass out a 20-cent Butterfinger? You want to be so sure some kid you don't know and won't see gets high that you'll spend 10 times more on Halloween candy?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Number 7, Portland reporter Anna Canzano, a medical marijuana-hating sheriff's best friend. From K2 News. Oregon Sheriff's Association President Tom Bergen said at the rate Oregon is going, he believes Oregon is 3 times sicker than California. Why? Well, more than 90% of cardholders say they're using pot to treat pain, not glaucoma or cancer, as the bill was initially marketed. Okay, here are the facts from the state's medical marijuana registry. There are 49,220 medical marijuana patients in Oregon. There are 44,756 of those patients who indicate chronic pain as a qualifying condition. So, Canzano, Bergen, and every other prohibitionist who scoffs at people in serious pain treating it with a non-toxic herb pull out their calculators and exclaim, 90% of cardholders are using it for pain, not glaucoma or cancer. And actually, the number is 90.9%. But what Canzano distorts lies in the word not. Under Oregon law, a registry cardholder can qualify under more than one condition. The state even puts the disclaimer, a patient may have more than one diagnosed qualifying medical condition, right there on the website where Anna Canzano got the numbers to crunch. Are we to believe people with cancer and glaucoma and multiple sclerosis and AIDS don't suffer chronic pain as well? Number 6. Florida woman sues over being arrested for sage. A woman in Florida who was arrested for felony marijuana possession is suing for wrongful arrest. She might just have a case. She was charged with marijuana possession, even though the bag they caught her with turned out to be sage. 49-year-old Robin Brown says a Broward County Sheriff's deputy caught her while she was birdwatching back in March of 2009. He used his field kit on the herb she had in a bag and said that in the field, it tested positive for marijuana. The deputy sent 50 grams of the substance to a state crime lab. Her lawsuit says that she was arrested before the test was performed. Her arrest was ordered by the assistant state attorney, Mark Horn, in June of 2009. She was arrested at her place of business, Massage Envy, in Weston. She said that she was arrested in front of coworkers and her customers and subjected to a full body cavity search during her overnight stay in jail. When her lawyer discovered the herbs had not been tested a second time, he used the courts to force the tests, which determined what Ms. Brown was contending all along. Her sage was completely marijuana-free.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
Number 5. Teen dies after plastic fumes scar lungs. Media blames synthetic pot. The boy smoked the fake chemicals out of a plastic Pez candy dispenser. The chemicals in the drugs caused extensive damage to his lungs. Brandon was put on a respirator in June and had a double lung transplant in September. So, we're to assume here it was the K2 that scarred the boy's lungs and not the freaking fumes from the melting plastic of a Pez dispenser? Tanya Rice told the Pittsburgh Tribune Review newspaper Brandon was put on a respirator in June after smoking spice fake cannabis, which is said to be 10 times more dangerous than cocaine. Not to be cruel or insensitive about the boy's death, but he didn't suddenly die from the acute effects of K2 use. He used it in June, fell very ill, was given a double lung transplant, and died from an infection because of his lowered immune system in October. So to compare, we have cocaine, which can give you a heart attack by overdose and kill you the minute you snort, smoke, or inject it, versus a synthetic cannabinoid smoked through plastic, requiring a double lung transplant, leading to a fatal infection 4 months later in the hospital that kills one boy. Now, we're not trying to say K2 is safe. It isn't. But it is not 10 times more dangerous than cocaine. Number 4. Cass's Joe Califano blames marijuana for Arizona shooter Jared Loughner. I haven't seen press reports or talking heads discuss their concern about how easy it has been for this mentally ill young man to get marijuana, and there has been no mention of the potential of marijuana to spark latent psychosis and exacerbate schizophrenia and other mental illnesses. So as we continue to think about this killer and his deranged mind, we should be asking this question. Is Jared Loughner an individual whose psychosis was prompted or exacerbated by the use of marijuana? Well, gee, Joe, what do you think we ought to do if it is? Make marijuana illegal? Lock up the people who use it? Break down their doors at night and shoot their dogs? Use helicopters and infrared to eradicate the plant wherever it's grown? Throw billions at American and Mexican law enforcement for armor and weapons to fight its traffickers? Train dogs to sniff it out? Drug test employees, high schoolers, and even middle schoolers to detect its use? The facts are that 1% of the population exhibits schizophrenia, whether it is 1979 and 60% of high school seniors have tried it, or if it's 1992 and 33% of high school seniors have tried it. A study of 186 UK mental hospitals found no increase in schizophrenia or psychosis admissions despite use rates of cannabis increasing greatly during that decade. Number 3. UK Daily Mail. Cannabis kills 30,000 a year. Oh dear. From zero deaths in 5,000 years of human use to 30,000 a year. That sounds serious. Let's read on. More than 30,000 cannabis smokers could die every year, doctors warn today. Wait. Could die? We've gone from the active headline verb kills to the lead adverb could? Usually you bury that wiggle room somewhere in paragraph umpteen. All right, let's continue. Professor John Henry, a leading authority on the drug, said the change, due to take place this summer, had undermined doctors' efforts to highlight the risks. He said, quote, "Cannabis is as dangerous as cigarette smoking. In fact, it may be even worse.
and downgrading its legal status has simply confused people, end quote. Maybe worse. Alright, so where are the wards full of cannabis smokers? Britain actually has some level of health care worthy of a civilized people. You'd think the National Health Service would bring these figures up. Sounds like quite a cost to the government. And yet, we never hear anything from the NHS about the lung wards full of cannabis smokers, do we? Number two, American Cancer Society says marijuana use can lead to amputation. Although it is rare, severe shutdown of blood circulation to the arms or legs has been reported in young people who smoked marijuana. In some cases, it was so severe that amputation was required. Wow. In all my years beating back reefer madness, this is a first. I have never heard a story of someone's marijuana use leading to amputation. Now, I have covered stories of people who use marijuana for their already existing amputation, since it is a superior medication for phantom pain, and I've covered one double amputee diabetic's eviction for her medical marijuana use, but never anyone who gets an amputation because of marijuana use.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
And finally, the number one story in our top 10 Reefer Madness stories of 2011. Butt-chugging, vodka tampons, drinking bleach, and other parent-frightening urban legends. From KPHO, school resource officer Chris Thomas spends his days patrolling the halls of a Valley high school. He's heard firsthand how kids are getting tipsy. Quote, what we're hearing about is teenagers utilizing tampons. Soak them in vodka first before using them, Thomas said. This is definitely not just girls, Thomas said. Guys will also use it, and they'll insert it into their rectums, end quote. Rather than the traditional beer bong you'd find at a college party, kids are sticking the tube elsewhere to get wasted. They're calling it butt-chugging. Right. Young teenage males, typically the most homophobic and self-conscious creatures on the planet, are dropping trow in front of their peers and inserting plastic tubes up their ass to chug beer. And the vodka tampons? Huffington Post reports that the practice remains unverified, despite multiple reports of incidents in the U.S. and elsewhere, and that a blogger conducted her own informal trial to see whether the purported method worked, where she noted that the alcohol dissolved the glue, and
this is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hanging on one more time. giant, you giant, you